Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow social impactors, to another episode of the Social Impactors Podcast. And today we have a very special guest. We have Tim Sallow, and he is the CEO and co-founder of Guide, a social e-learning platform enabling high school students to learn essential life skills from their favorite content creators. He's an accomplished international keynote speaker and global evangelist with WeWork, leading and amplifying WeWork's vision for the future of work. He founded Mentors and Mentees, a guide community, a global community of 10,000 professionals and students using career mentorship to take control of their careers and thrive in the future of work. He's been recognized by Wall Street Journal, Forbes, XSXW, Opportunity Hub, LinkedIn, and the Young Presidents Organization, Google, the Millennial Mogul, and other major media platforms for his work as a global community leader, tech influencer, and thought leader on the future of work, the future of education, and emerging technology. So Tim, that is a load of information, but it's everything you're doing, which I absolutely adore, so I had to say it. But I first wanted to just start this podcast by saying thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks, man. I am so happy to be on the Social Impact Podcast.
Yeah, man, and I'm so pumped to get started. So and we're going to jump right into the first question. And the first question I have for you really is just a little bit about who you are, what you do, expanding on what I said, and why you believe you're a social impactor.
I am Tim Sallow. I am CEO of Guide. And honestly, my background is in community building. So the Mentors and Mentees community, my guide community that I've been building for the past 2 years, is actually my first foray into the social impact world. I started that community when I was in grad school, and I realized that a lot of people were seeking mentorship, but really the problem around career mentorship wasn't necessarily a discovery problem, was more so a perspective problem. So really getting the same like minds, or even better yet, diverse minds in the same group, in the same space, in the same room, and encouraging them to share from their experiences and teach each other and, you know, pass on their knowledge and wisdom. And then really Mentors and Mentees was kind of my first dive deep into how do I create a social impact community that empowers career mentorship and encourages people to take control of their careers and learn from each other. And Mentors and Mentees, a guide community, was the first foray into that. Prior to that, I actually went to school at Texas Tech University, where I studied psychology and really learned the fundamentals and how people think, as I call it.
Yeah.
And after that, I went to the University of Texas at Austin and studied information studies. And at that point, while I was in grad school, I was really pursuing a career in user experience design and product management. Eventually, it led to my first role with Microsoft as an AI product manager, where I was building actually the next generation platform for chatbot management, which actually recently released at Microsoft. And I was there with them for a year. Now I'm really working with WeWork in unleashing the future of work as their global evangelist and really educating and working with execs, senior leaders on what the future of work is, what it looks like for their companies, and how they can be partners and work with WeWork so we can be their innovation catalyst, right? And helping them unleash the future of work and retaining their people and creating disruptive organizations that are at global scale learning organizations and connected organizations as well. So I do a lot of things, but I'm really more passionate about just always building community and strengthening the bonds that people share.
So I want to delve a little bit into where that desire to make this, you know, to make community impact, to make people, to give opportunities to people too. And if we boil it down, why now do you feel that the future of work is so important?
You know what? You know, the desire really came around when I was in grad school, and is really when I defined my purpose statement. So my purpose statement in life is to strengthen the bonds that people share through compassionate and empathic action. And that was a purpose statement I came to terms with after, you know, deep isolation and deep thinking while I was in grad school and in search of my purpose and understanding, okay, why do I exist on this earth? What can I uniquely bring to the table in everything that I do as I grow. So that led me to really creating all of the things that I'm now involved in, even at a career level, as well as my personal business with Guide and Mentors and Mentees. But even when I think of the work that I do with WeWork, when I think of the future of work, I see that the opportunity for people to take control of their careers is more available and accessible in today's day and age than ever before. And people don't realize that. And that's why the future of work matters. The future of work matters is that now there's an equal playing field in what people can do and how people can have access to opportunities that furthers their careers. So I imagine a future where we don't only have entrepreneurs outside of corporate America, but we have entrepreneurs in corporate America, we have entrepreneurs in corporate America, that we have entrepreneurs everywhere really, and that really starts when we start shifting the mindset of people to be more learning, to focus more on learning and growth mindset, and understanding that, look, you have the potential to build your personal brand. You have the potential to create your own business around what you're passionate about. You have the potential to really start thinking about your career from a portfolio perspective and thinking about all of the different things that you can do that align back to your purpose and what you're passionate about and really just bring it to fruition. So that's really the mindset shift that I'm always encouraging people to make when it comes to the future of work.
Wow. It's so important that, and one of the things that you said that really is important to me too, is that we need to change the perspective of, you know, not just on the individual level, but this really systemic mindset, right? We need to change that because we need to be giving more opportunity to innovation, and not the buzzword innovation, right? I'm not talking about this thing that every company talks about. I'm talking about, you know, innovation on the lens of using empathy, using, you know, social innovation strategies, using all of these ways to really make substantial change in the world.
I agree, man. And what people don't realize is that innovation is diverse. Innovation is multicultural, right? Innovation is global. It's thinking about from a global viewpoint, how do I create systems, platforms that equalize the playing field for everyone, not just a select few, not just a majority, not just even the minority, but everybody, that everyone can participate. So it's really thinking from a different lens, man. And, you know, often when I talk about innovation and I think about how do I build innovative products, I think about it starts with what teams do these organizations have in place? What spaces and communities am I a part of that can help me develop as a CEO, as an entrepreneur, as an evangelist, right? That allows me to build a global perspective, right? It allows me to build a diverse and more equitable perspective. And I think people fail to realize that innovation is not myopic. It is dynamic and diverse.
Yeah, I think that encapsulates everything that's important, but also that in my opinion is one of the challenges that exists in the world today, because there is not equal opportunity for all, right? And one of the things that I talk about at the college that I work for too, is we talk about this idea that human-based skills, right? So when we talk about empathy, when we talk about collaboration, it is one of the only things that is not reserved for one type of person or one industry, right? Anyone can use it. And if you empower people to look at those skills as the important things in the world, and those skills as traits for good managers, and those skills as traits for good CEOs, you will see such a shift in how we think about business.
It's so true, man. It's so funny you say that, because that's essentially what we're moving to in the future of work, where really what's going to be prioritized isn't necessarily your degree, but is, do you have the critical life skills, right? And you have the technical skills, right? So, but more so, more than what's more important than anything is us being able to track and gauge if individuals have the life skills necessary to thrive, whether it be on teams, in corporate America, or in any setting that requires the participation of people to get something done. And one thing that I'm really excited about with my venture, God, is that we're actually building that platform in order to track and measure, does someone have the life skills necessary to thrive in a Google, to thrive in a Microsoft, to thrive with a WeWork, right? To thrive in any organizations, because we're actually measuring, does that person have a high entrepreneurial quotient? Does that person have a high communication quotient? How often are they learning about communication? How often are they learning about entrepreneurship, right? Because now once we're tracking that and you're able to kind of start seeing how certified people are in those specific areas, you now are able to say, okay, that individual has a lot of interest in entrepreneurship, but more importantly, is passionate and is showing high entrepreneurial vigor, right? So now you're able to make this kind of like good assessment on if someone has the skills necessary to thrive for your organization, man. So I would love to get your perspective though, Avery. When you think about the future of work, man, you know, how important do you think skills are when it comes to the next generation of the workforce?
I mean, I think one of the most important things that we need to prioritize more, but also realize is the 21st or even 22nd century skills is these soft skills, right? Being able to work with people, being able to, you know, look through a lens of empathy, because you can learn technical skills through education. You can learn those skills of working in an environment over time, but when you can use and deploy human-based skills, you can transfer that into any industry. That can also be in your personal life. That is the most important thing. So the future of work to me is really employing and showcasing those human-based skills and saying these are the skills we want in the world, right? AI will never take away those human-based skills, right? No industry will take those away. That's being a good human being.
I agree, man. What's so funny is that people don't understand technical skills often change, right? So
yeah.
Right now there's this huge focus on artificial intelligence, automation technology, and all the cluster of skills that go into building these types of technologies. But what people don't realize is that, okay, if we're now in this AI, you know, era, what's next, right? Right, we're in this AI and cloud computing era, what's next? Right, because now once we make this shift away from AI, right, there's to some other technology. Let's say it's quantum computing. Then maybe there's going to be a different set of technical skills that are in demand, right?
Yeah.
But really, the skills that never ever change, the skills that are continuous, the skills that people are always seeking, right? Hiring managers, right? Leaders, entrepreneurs, the skills that people are always seeking are the life skills, right, that never go out of date. So it's actually more important that as humans that we find ways to always be professionally developing our life skills, such as communication, entrepreneurship, you know, financial literacy, all of these things that ensure that we feel, you know, aligned in our lives, in our careers, in the workforce, in the places that we work at. Those are the skills that fundamentally help us have a fulfilling and rewarding career. And at the end of the day, be good teammates to our hiring managers, be good teammates to our collaborators at work, and actually thrive in a very dynamic generation.
I love that. I love that, man. It's so important. And you know, thank you for being a leader in this space. And I really want to jump into the second question, because this question is going to be highlight just a ton of your strengths, right? Really who you are, what we had talked about before. But the question I have is, how are you then, with everything you're doing, how are you making a positive impact in your community?
Man, you know, it's so funny, brother. With Mentors and Mentees, a guide community, you know, it's a community of over 10,000 professionals and students. And what I've realized is how important career mentorship is in furthering the lives of people who don't necessarily have access, immediate access to the information, the knowledge, the mentorship to them, or they don't know where to find it. So a lot of people who join our community on our Facebook group, they actually join it because, one, they want access to the knowledge and the perspectives that are in our community, right? And even in local chapters where we have community leaders, they want access to the community leaders and the community that is at display that will help them further their careers. Community is so important when it comes to career mentorship. And the impact that I've noticed that our community is having on students and professionals is that it's giving them a new lens on life. you know? It's giving them a new lens on the fact that, wait, I can be a part of a supportive group of people who care about me, who care about their own professional development, and they're consistently sharing knowledge in our community, they're consistently sharing knowledge in their local communities, and most importantly, they are looking out for me so I can have ownership of my career, right? And more importantly, what they're telling me is relevant because I'm facing the same struggles of maybe not understanding how do I get promoted at work? How do I, you know, find a mentor? How do I start thinking about becoming more financially literate, right? They're able to share all of this knowledge with me and they want to help me develop, right? And our community is doing this at global scale. And that is really powerful. So when we're able to really make that shift, that when because mentors and mentees, a guide community is able to really shift the perspective at global scale like that, thousands of people have actually gotten jobs at Microsoft, Amazon, WeWork.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
They've gotten jobs at Facebook because we are a global community that really elevates each other, right? And I, you know, it's been really amazing as the community lead and the founder to really see that growth that we've had and the impact that we had on people's lives, man, because that's really why Mentors, Mentees, and Guide community exists.
That's to make an impact on other people's lives.
Yeah, man.
Huh. And I mean, you've created this entire community and what I love about it is that every person goes in to that community with the mindset of wanting to help others, right? So you have not only 10,000 people, you have 10,000 like-minded people, 10,000 people who are there to help. And I think that just amplifies the message, right? You have much more than one person who is talking about needing change or wanting to help. You now have, you know, thousands of people all helping each other out.
Dude. And that's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of community, is that when you find people who have the same intent, who are givers, leaders, world changers, and they want to give, they want to share, they want to learn from each other, you get something really magical that happens. You get connection, you get serendipity, you get delight, you get opportunity, you get access, you get visibility, right? You get joy. And more importantly, you get people who want to further each other. And, you know, one thing that as a community builder, that I'm really, really passionate about is creating ecosystems, right? And I know you can relate because you're an ecosystem builder yourself with all of the work that you do, is that when you really start creating ecosystems that involve people, and have people at the heart of things, you know, really, that's how you create those sustainable outcomes where you as a leader, you don't necessarily have to be involved in, or really what you do is you're facilitating a platform for people to connect, right, to learn from each other, to be tethered, right, to strengthen each other's bonds. And, you know, that's really the beauty of being an entrepreneur at the end of the day and really focusing on how do I create social impact initiatives that bring people together at scale and actually create a lot of value, whether it be knowledge creation, right, or even from a monetization perspective where it's creating new business ecosystems for people. And more importantly, heart. Right? It touches people's hearts and it forces them to change, to be different people, man. That's really where it's at, man.
Yeah. Huh. So here's another question for you, because you talked about heart at, you know, what you do in business, heart at the center of it, people at the center of it. And the next question I have is actually about the business. And so I want to get a lot of your perspective on, you know, what you've done in the past, but also what you're doing with Guide, because I think this is, you know, a perfect example of it. And the question I have is this idea of social impact, or just this idea of building impact. Do you believe it's an important part of business?
Heck yes. Heck yes, it
I love
is.
It.
I say that because I work with WeWork.
Yeah.
And I love WeWork for a few reasons. One is being the fact that when Adam, our CEO, and Miguel, our co-founder, and Rebecca, our other co-founder, when they created WeWork, they thought about social impact from the get-go. They thought about how can we use physical space to facilitate community, to facilitate togetherness. Really, you know, no other business, no other company, no other entity in the world exists that ever thought about space from that perspective, right? That ever thought about WeGrow, which is our education platform and our education mission, in which we're building the next generation of students to be more entrepreneurial and to be more connected to their environments. No one ever thought about how do we use space to really foster a new way of thinking. And that in itself is thinking about technology, thinking about space from a social impact lens. And more importantly, what WeWork has actually shown is that social impact is monetizable, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Social impact is lucrative. Social impact can generate revenue, one, but also it can generate connectivity. It can generate community, right? It can actually, there can be a balance between how your platform, one, makes a lot of money, you know, facilitates interaction with people, but most importantly, brings them together, elevates them, right? So we've really developed this platform at WeWork where we're a platform for creators. We're a platform for people where they go into a WeWork, you know, or they take their child to a WeGrow, or they live in a WeLive, and they find connectivity, they find connection, they find creators that they can build with, they can learn from, and most importantly, they're living in a WeLive, or they're working out of a WeWork, and they're thinking about who can I talk to help me grow my business? Who can I talk to help me live a better way of life? Right? That's what happens when you're a purpose-driven business and you think about social impact, and then you create kind of an ecosystem, right, around your business too, right? And WeWork is a great example of that. Another great example is Airbnb, right? With a lot of the work that they do, whenever it comes to, you know, creating spaces where immigrants, right, can creating essentially a platform where you have immigrants and you have, you know, people who can open up their home to immigrants, who can open up their home for disaster relief or disaster recovery, right? They think about how do we flip the platform we've created, you know, to being just, you know, not just a transactional platform between, you know, homeowners and people who are, you know, looking to live in, you know, Montana for a weekend, right? But how can we also shift our platform to encouraging our homeowners to open up their space when people are in trouble, when people are looking to escape from, you know, a war-torn country, right? That is social impact. And that's what I love about kind of this new era of platform companies who are thinking about using their business with a social impact lens.
Mm. And one thing that you said, which is complete truth at this point, is that these businesses, there is no separation of building an impact or building a social impact and making money anymore, right? WeWork, for example, they're raising incredibly large rounds of funding, and Airbnb is a multi-billion dollar company. And these are both companies that have social impact embedded into what they do, right? The conversation of them being separate is no longer a thing anymore. You are right when you said social impact can be monetized.
It can be. It sure can be. It can be. But it can be monetized, but it also needs to stay authentic, right?
Yeah.
You actually have to be creating social impact. And you actually have to have evidence-based, you know, proof that you are creating social impact, right? Because that's another thing, right? There's some businesses out there, and I'm not going to name any names. They say a lot of that they're creating social impact, they're good for the community, but actually they're not. They're actually toxic for communities.
Yeah, it's social washing.
Driving and moving the needle, man. It really, and you know, so that's why I actually hold every organization that I work with personally, from my personal business and also in the work that I do with WeWork, is I hold every company that I work with to a high level of standards.
Yeah.
High level of standards on how are you creating social impact? What are you doing to move the needle in communities? Show me, right? Let's see the proof, man. Because if you're saying all of these and you're claiming all of this, but then, you know, we talk to people at a grassroots level, and you're actually not creating impact, you're actually not moving the needle, then it's really just lip service, you know? And I often feel that way about social impact work, as well as the diversity and inclusion and equity work some of these companies often say that they do. And when you look and you go into their companies or you talk to their people and you look at their cultures, there's nothing diverse, equitable, or inclusive about them.
And you know, that's true. And it's, we're going through a wave of what before was greenwashing, right? And now is a little bit of social washing. We're going through this wave of using that as a tool to get more money. But one thing that I like about this social impact lens is you can really easily see through it, right? You can go to the local level and ask, but when a company is not living out their purpose and they're not living out the impact they make, it's very hard to hide behind that, right? Very, very hard, because there's no CSR program and there's no campaign that you can continuously do until someone sees through that, unless you're actually building the impact, right?
Easily, man.
Yeah.
Easily. And that's why I always encourage, social impact entrepreneurs, look, hold yourself to a high standard as well. Are you working with diverse communities? Is your business, right, operating in the space where diverse communities exist? Are you partnering with diverse vendors, right? Are you seeking the services of diverse contractors, right? Are you negotiating strategic partnerships with diverse companies, right, that are minority owned, right, that are maybe creating products for people of color, right? People who are, who represent the multicultural world that we're moving to, right? Are you really actually, thinking diverse first, right? And, there's a lot of companies that are not, man. There really isn't. And I really, that's what I love about you, Avery, and the work that you do, is that I think that you're one of, you're part of this new era of social impact entrepreneurs who operate at global scale, but still understand the fact that you have to think from a multicultural lens. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. There's a balance. You can be global, but at the end of the day, multicultural is saying, okay, how do I still think from a niche sense of, are we engaging the different communities that matter?
And I mean, we're getting to a point where globalization and this global migration, it's happening, right? And we have to be able, and I'm going on a little bit of an existential thing right now, but we have to be able to work well together and also understand diverse perspectives, because the best work and the best impact comes from diverse perspectives, right? Otherwise, you're in a little bit of a sounding tunnel where you're just talking to yourself and talking to the same people with the same ideas. But when you have that diverse perspective, you're challenged, which is always good. But you also are able to deploy the best thought process because it's a holistic thought process, right?
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily, brother.
That was a little bit of a rant there, but it leads well into the last question, which really is just about your advice. And so the question is, what is your advice for people listening today to be able to build their own impact?
Man, if you want to build your own impact, if you want to build your own movement, you need to do three things. Number one, listen to your heart. Do what your heart is telling you is right in terms of what you want to create and you want to bring into the world that is aligned to your purpose. Really find a week, 2 weeks, a month, however long, to listen to your heart. Define and really transcribe, write down, what is it that I want to bring into the world that I think is incredibly important and I know will create new ecosystems, will create value for people. And it's not even a matter of you getting paid, right? Create value for people, and people will want to work with you, or they want to be part of your movement, right? They want to be a part of your movement. And then from there, everything else will follow, right? The lucrative opportunities you think or you're looking for will follow, right? Entrepreneurs nowadays, we need a new generation of entrepreneurs who listen to their heart and are creating value to tie back to social impact. Right? They're not thinking money first. They're not thinking profit first. They're not thinking investors first. They're thinking purpose first, right? So listen to your heart. Number two, find powerful collaborators. Find people, right? People like Avery, who you can work with to create social impact movements, because you can't do it by yourself, right? The biggest fable of any entrepreneur is the fact that the solo entrepreneur is successful, the solo social impact entrepreneur is not successful. No, no. If you want to really scale social impact, you need a team. You need collaborators. You need people who are just as fired up as your social impact cause as you, right? So you need to find really, really powerful collaborators. Really, really powerful collaborators that you can align with and create really amazing social impact causes, right? So number one, listen to your heart. Number two, find amazing collaborators. And number three, really understand what industries and what is the problem that you're trying to tackle with your social impact cause, right? For example, with me, with the product that and the venture that I'm building with the guy, there was so many cycles of ideation and sharing my ideas with people that I went through to eventually land on the fact that God is going to be the social e-learning platform where high school students can learn essential life skills from their favorite creators. That is a very small problem that we're solving. But there was so much ideation and so much kind of thinking and brainstorming and kind of problem framing and even industry framing that I had to go through to understand what is the problem that we can address now, right? And what industry do we want to operate in and grow our venture in and grow our platform in, right? So once you really narrow, okay, how can you build a social impact cause that addresses a very small problem, a niche problem, that you can kind of build upon or that you can address really quick with a solution, a service, right? A product, a company, whatever it is, then go for it, right? So listen to your heart, find passionate collaborators, and lastly, frame the problem. Really dissect the problem and the industry that you want to operate your social impact cause in.
That's really sound advice. That's a formula for success there. And no, it really is, man, because you have to, what you had talked about before, people at the center of it, right? You have to start with your heart. And then afterwards, partnering with collaborators is important to amplify that. And then you also need to identify what the problem is. And I think the last one for me is one of the most important ones that I've realized, and I think is important for youth entrepreneurs, is that identifying the problem is really identifying, is my heart in it, right? It kind of goes back to the first part. And then also saying, am I able to really make a substantial change, right?
Easily, man. Literally, ask yourself, and I think everyone can. I believe everyone is an entrepreneur. I actually believe that. I believe everyone is an entrepreneur because to me, entrepreneurship, so whether you want to be a social impact innovator, or you want to own a mom and pop shop, right?
Yeah.
Right? A restaurant. It's a matter of creation, right? Entrepreneurship is a mindset. To really adopt the entrepreneurial mindset, you just have to believe that you can create something, that you can build something, that you can partner with people, right? That you are a visionary. And I think that everyone is a visionary. Innately, we are all creatively gifted, but we all have to do the work. Find what we're passionate about, to find the people that are just passionate about the things we're passionate about, and create, right? And that is it at the end of the day. And that really, as you said, comes through your reflection, listening to yourself and telling yourself you can do it. You know, you have to have something that is powerful to really get into the space, man.
I love that, man. And I want to end this podcast with saying, Tim, it's sound advice. You're showing people what it is to really be a social impactor. And I want to wish you the best of luck on Guide. I'm excited to see what that journey looks like. And where can people best reach out to you? If they have questions or if they just want to connect with what you're doing, what's the best platforms?
So people who are listening to this amazing podcast can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm super active on LinkedIn. And you can also find me on Instagram as well. I'm really active on my Instagram. My name is Tim Salau, first name and last name, Tim Salau. Search me up. And if you want to join a powerful 10,000 member global community, join Mentors and Mentees, a guide community. We have over 10,000 professionals and students who are taking control of their careers, and it's a really resourceful community. Avery is a part of the community. It's nothing but knowledge and nothing but amazing givers, world changers, and leaders who want to elevate you in your career path. And if you want to learn more about Guide, which is my initiative that's looking to really reclaim education and really take charge of the future of education. Find us on guideapp.co. Guideapp.co. That is our website. You can sign up for our newsletter so you are involved in our product development and when we launch this summer. And yeah, we would love to, you know, have you be a part of our creative community when we launch.
Amazing. So Tim, I just want to say one last comment, and it really is, again, thank you for being on the podcast with me today.
Oh, absolutely, Avery. You are awesome, man. And I love speaking and hanging out with amazing social impact entrepreneurs.